Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
We enter the 11 o'clock hour here on the Pomp and Joe Show. Bob Pompiani with Jason Mackey in studio today. Joe Starkey is enjoying a day off. Want to remind you, the Fan Twitter site is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Also, the Fan text line. If you don't get in on the call-in line, all you have to do is go there. It's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Jason, we have a very special guest coming on with us right now, a man who knows everything there is to know about college sports in general, Mike DeCourcy. Of course, a man from Pittsburgh, I'm proud to say, a Point Park College and now University alum, and he does work on the Big Ten Network. We've had him on the Showdown. He knows a lot about this whole topic of the college football playoff. Good morning, and hope you had a nice holiday, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Bob. Happy holidays to you. Happy New Year to everybody. Great to talk to you.
All right, we're going to get into this. I know there's a lot of debate about how this whole thing is going right now. 12 teams. I endorsed that at the time. I thought it was good. I don't know if I like the seeding process of it. If you are looking at this the way it unfolded, what changes would you make to it, knowing that teams like Boise State got a better opportunity, and maybe a team like Oregon, which was the number one seeded team?
Yeah, there's only one change I'd make to this, Bob, at current. There might be some subtle adjustments I'd make, but the first significant change I would also make to the NFL playoffs, and that is winning a conference or a division gets you in. That's your reward for winning your conference. But if you win a poor conference or a meager conference, or as in the case of the NFC, look what's going to happen in a week or so, where the loser between Minnesota and Detroit, in regards to the division, will have to go on the road
as a 14-team win. Right. That's crazy.
Same thing in football. It shouldn't happen in college. It's the same thing in college football. It shouldn't happen. I think it's wonderful. I think it's essential that Arizona State and Boise State and Clemson were part of this playoff. It's not a real playoff unless they are. But they don't have to be seeded with advantages, as when they clearly are not among the 3 to 4 best teams in the country, or the most accomplished, however you want to gauge it. They aren't. They don't rank in either of those circumstances, and yet there they are, sitting with significant advantages over teams like Tennessee or Texas or whomever you want to name. I think that if the committee is going to seed these teams, then they should be seated relative to their accomplishments, not granting an automatic bye and high seed to conference champions.
Mike, James Franklin talked at the Fiesta Bowl about wanting to see a commissioner for college football. I thought it was a really interesting topic of conversation, specifically with the timing of things. Obviously, Penn State being affected with Bo Prabula, easy for me to say, entering the transfer portal. Anyway, do you anticipate, do you see any path forward for a commissioner of college football? Is that even the least bit realistic, or is it just a good line in a press conference?
Yeah, it's a dream. People always want to fix whatever's wrong in sports by having a commissioner or a better commissioner or whatever. We haven't had, like, there's never been an authoritarian commissioner. Again, easy for me to say. There's never been
there's something in the water.
Yeah, it's not that this person's going to come in and fix everything. First of all, what if they have bad ideas? I mean, James Franklin sat at that press conference and said they should eliminate conference championship games. Well, how are you going to know who the conference champion is then? Because you've got 18 team conferences, and we're not waiting a full year. Everybody playing 20 games so that you can have a conference champion. So you have to have a championship game if you're going to have a legitimate champion. Should it be decided by who gets the easiest schedule? Because Texas, the reason Texas was in the SEC championship game playing Georgia was largely in part to the fact that they had one of the easiest schedules imaginable. That shouldn't be the factor. So you have to have those games, and that's why I say that his proposal, Nick Saban, as a college football commissioner, why would I want someone who got wealthy and famous in old college football to be ruling over new college football when we're clearly not going back in the direction that he would favor? So I don't think that a commissioner is the answer. I think that the answer is that either we live with what we have, or the college football players, the athletes, would have to be acknowledged as employees and there would have to be a bargaining agreement. It's one of those two, or congressional action, and I don't think that's coming.
I think there's stuff to do within the confines of the system that they're not doing too, Mike. Tell me if you think I'm crazy, but you can start this thing earlier. You can have a less compressed schedule. I honestly think it's to college football's detriment to have it spread out as far as it has, and like you're playing these games without students on campus. I would try to get away from the NFL if you can. That seems like a futile task at this point. Even Christmas Day, they're trying to play games. I feel like they can get a little bit more creative than with the schedule and achieve some of that.
Well, I think they could probably make some adjustments to the schedule that would alleviate some of the pressures that happen relative to the transfer portal. But you would have that would entail playing games in August. And remember, the sport is most popular. It's popular everywhere, but it's most popular in the South. You don't want to be in a football stadium in a day.
That is
maybe
a good
even
point.
At night.
That is a good point.
In the South, so that's why it is how it is. It's hard enough for some of those day games in Mississippi and Alabama as it is, and to put them into an even hotter part of the year would be more difficult.
They all have to build domes.
I think you kind of have to live with this again relative to the transfer portal, because it comes down to the academic semesters. They're not going to change those so the football people are happy. So I don't know what way around that there is.
Mike DeCourcy, our special guest here from the Sporting News, Big Ten Network. Mike, I want to ask you, since you brought up transfer portal and how it relates to this, college football championship. We've already seen in the case of Bo Prabula, a guy who's very valuable, and you may not know his value until Drew Aller gets hurt, if he ever does. Hopefully he won't. But my point is, it does affect what goes on, given the timing. Would you change the way that's being handled? And my secondary question to that is there a written agreement here with these NILs? Or we saw the Leonard Hamilton being sued by six different people because of a verbal. What is NIL right now? Is it a contractual agreement, or is it just a verbal thing?
It is both. It depends on the circumstance. And I would advise any athlete who is making a decision based on, with that as a primary factor, with NIL income as a primary factor, and that would be a large percentage of the athletes, to get it in writing. It's not that it's impossible to recover if it's a promise, just a verbal promise, but if you have it in writing, it's a lot easier to enforce. There are lots of things that happen with college athletes that they're not well prepared for, and that the schools generally aren't doing a good enough job preparing them for. Financial literacy. If you're going to get six, seven figures now, you should have an idea what to do with that money beyond going out and buying the biggest car you can. That's money in the case of people who get seven figures, you could set yourself up for life on that.
Yeah.
Literally.
You could also blow it all and end up with nothing and never get another chance.
Absolutely. Yeah. But colleges and high schools have always done a poor job, generally, of teaching financial literacy. And in those cases, it affects everybody. But for those who are handed, or I shouldn't say handed, who are presented a significant amount of money when they're very young, it's very important that they understand what that can do for them if they're smart with it. But in generally, they don't. And it's in regards to the semesters and the transfer portal. Look, the colleges can allow the athlete to continue to compete if they wish, and we've seen that at a few schools. I get the impression, although it's never been publicly stated, that Penn State felt like if Bo was half out, then he was all out. And that's okay, too. You're making a decision based on what you think is best for your program, and Bo is making the decision based on what he has to do for his future, especially with everyone now aware that Drew is coming back. Drew Aller is coming back for his final season of eligibility, or another season of eligibility, I should say. That knowledge puts Bo as a backup when there are lots of schools out there that would, A, employ him at starting quarterback and give him the chance to show what he can do and have the fun that's available to that player, and also earn a significant amount of money doing that.
We're talking to Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News and the Big Ten Network. Mike, to go a little bit more directed or you know, smaller picture with Penn State, their college football quarterfinal tonight with Boise State, what chance do you give Penn State of winning, and what do you think might be a key in the victory for the Nittany Lions if they're able to do that?
Yeah, I think they should win. They are superior at most positions. I would say running back is clearly not one. Ashton Jeanty is an amazing player, and I think if they can slow him down, and we've seen it done. We saw Penn State do it to Herschel Walker back in the day. We saw Pitt do it to Herschel Walker back in the day. So you can slow down a phenomenal running back. You're not going to do it every time. So it's up to you to get that done. And if you can do that, you should be able to control the game. You can't turn the ball over. They did not against SMU. They forced them regularly against SMU, and they were very successful in that game. But they're a superior team on both sides of the ball with the exception of that running game. And they're going to have to control Jeanty in order to advance, but I expect that that's what will happen.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough assignment. The one thing I'll say, even though I think Boise State does have the advantage in terms of the runner, I think Penn State's combination is pretty good. And I also think Boise State, we were looking at some of the metrics, and there's so many metrics, Mike, you can make a case for everything here, but they don't tackle very well. Penn State could actually get the ball and keep it for a long period of time and make it more difficult for Ashton Jeanty to get moving. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. We saw in the SMU game how good Aller can be when he's given the opportunity I don't know. I don't want to say cut loose because they don't really do that at Penn State, but just to contribute more. He's a terrific talent and he's got a lot to offer. And so I would caution against worrying about keeping Boise's offense off the field and go more about, okay, what's going to work to score points for us? I think that's been a problem for the Steelers. They've been more worried about keeping the other team's offense off the field than they have been about what's going to work to score points for them. And so I like Aller a lot. I like his use of the tight ends. That's really helped their offense work. They've gotten more creative with that. And I think impetus toward creativity needs to continue for as long as they're alive in this playoff, because that's what's gotten them beaten in the bigger games like the Ohio State game. That's what's hurt them is the lack of creativity and trying to be too conservative, worrying about what could happen if it goes wrong. What's gone wrong for them is they've gotten bottled up in too many big games. And so I like the creative element that they've introduced with Tyler Warren and all the different ways they use him. And I would not be at all surprised, given the time in between games, if they throw a few new wrinkles out there with him.
One final question for you, Mike, and I appreciate your time here today. And this is college basketball, one of your specialties for sure. Now, how Pitt is 10-2. It's their best start under Jeff Capel. They have, I think, pretty good, if not superior, guard play to just about every team, not all, but every team in the ACC. How deep can they go? And is this a year that maybe Pitt basketball will kind of resurface as it was under Jamie Dixon and before him Ben Howland? Not maybe to the degree of being a number one seed, but being a factor.
Yeah, it's trending in that direction for sure. We've seen them play and beat some significant teams. I've got them seeded number 5 in my bracket for Fox Sports. They have played well enough to earn that. It's not going to be easy to hold that because the ACC has not been impressive through the first 2 months of the season. I know that's a common refrain that has been a lament over the last few years. that so much goes on November and December, but non-conference performance of the league has been poor, so Pitt has to excel in the league. I don't want to use the word dominate. I think that's the word you'd use if you're trying to play for a one seed like Duke would be. Duke wants to be a one seed. They're going to have to dominate the league. Win all but one or two games. But if Pitt can go through with four or five losses in the league, finish a strong second or third, and I'm not saying they can't win it. I mean, I'm just saying that that's a realistic proposal and goal for them. And if they can do that, I think they can be right there, like I said, in that four or five seed range when we get to March. That's a pretty successful season.
All right, Mike, appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much. I know you're passionate about all of this, and I'll be anxious to see these games starting tonight and into tomorrow as well. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Mike.
Bob and Jason, it's my pleasure. Happy New Year. Thanks, guys.
Happy New Year to you. That's Mike DeCourcy. You can follow him at TSN Mike. He does really good work for the Sporting News, of course, but also on the Big Ten Network. And when it comes to basketball, he is deeply entrenched in what goes on there. So he has Pitt as a fifth seed. Would you agree with that? I mean, that's a pretty good team. They're missing Damian Dunn. When he comes back, it's a better team.
Yeah. I mean, the guard play, that's the reason I would agree with it, Pomp. I mean, they have been so impressive. If this continues through ACC play, I feel like a five seed can be a little bit low based on what the ACC can be, what those guys have done. Anyway, yes, I'm right there with the optimism, Pitt basketball.
And it starts tomorrow in conference here. Well, they've already, as far as conference at home on New Year's Day, it starts. And
again,
it is Cal.
Traditional ACC matchup.
Yeah, they got to travel a long way on New Year's Eve to get here. and Pitt will try to win that game. They've had some really good games. Beat Ohio State on the road. I thought the Mississippi State game was just, they were overpowered there. And that's the one thing that would concern me, their inside game. Guard play is guard play. It's very elite when it's on. But
yeah,
in a tournament, if you don't start making plays and you don't get rebounds and things of that nature, you can be in for a long night.
Yeah, I thought they were going to be a lot better inside. It's been kind of inconsistent. Mm-hmm. Cam Corn, when he's been good, Guillermo Diaz-Graham, the fifth man, I'm blanking on. Help me out.
Zach Austin.
Thank you. I mean, Austin has stepped in at times,
right.
But that has not found its level. As good as the guard play has been, and Damian Dunn's going to be big getting him back, first week of January, something like that, if I'm not mistaken. If you can combine that with a little bit more consistency down low, that's the key for me.
Did you guys see the scary incident with Bub Carrington, by the way?
No.
So I guess he hit his head on the court last night and had to be taken off in a wheelchair. So scary scene for
me. So he went up and lost his balance or someone hit him?
I did not see the play. I just saw the headline that he was taken off the court in a wheelchair and apparently it was from hitting his head. So hopefully it's not anything as serious as it initially looked.
Those guys have leaping ability that's off the charts. And when you go airborne and that you have no way of preparing for what coming down on your head, there's nothing to stop you from that. And I've seen that with a lot of guys. I haven't seen a wheelchair being used. Hopefully he's okay. A lottery pick for Pitt. We haven't had one of those in quite some time, huh? And who knows? Maybe there's more
since
on the way.
Maybe, was it Adams? Probably was the prior lottery.
Was he a lottery pick? I wish he would have stayed here for another year or two, but I know he didn't. I thought Jamie, that's the one mistake I thought Jamie made when he was here, not to go back and open up old.
Relitigate Stephen Adams.
But I mean, I would have used him a lot more in his freshman season.
Yeah.
I would have, because he was just so big. And
you got to get the most out of those one and done guys the one year you have them.
All right, 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We have Pitt and Cal tomorrow right here on your home of Panther Sports. It's 93.7 The Fan. It's a 1:30 pregame, 2 o'clock tip-off from the Peterson Event Center. When we come back, we'll switch back to the Steelers, talk about specifics in this game with Cincinnati and, maybe how far the Steelers can go. And if they don't, what happens next? It's all coming up right here on the Pomp and Joe Show with Jason Mackey sitting in today for Joe Starkey on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Sean Myers bringing you fan headlines.